strings on, put them on a little while ago, but when you hit hard on it, they, you know, gotta retune a little bit. And God gives you a new heart and a new faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes He allows you to be stretched a little bit too, you know. That's how, when I put new strings on, you probably wouldn't want to like stand close, but I just kind of like pull on them and try to make them bend a little bit. Because that way, it's easier when I'm playing in front of the congregation, then it doesn't go off then, you know. So God stretches us sometimes, doesn't He? Because He wants you to do well out there. And so He keeps on working on you. And every Sunday we preach and teach and try to stretch you a little bit in here so you can be a good witness out there. Shine His light, His grace, His truth. And remember to keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing?
Jesus.
And what's the other main thing?
Keeping the main thing.
Keeping the main thing the main thing. So the main thing is Jesus, and the other, keeping the main thing the main thing. So we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 today. Let this be like an introduction to the chapter. And to the book, actually. In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won, though I've been blessed beyond measure by His strength alone. I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies, they would not equal the grace by which I
to the glory of God.
So Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So, just over 100 miles east of Ephesus, on the Lycus River, Colossae, there was three cities around that area: Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. In Colossae, you could get some really cold water, refreshing water. Hierapolis had hot mineral waters. And Laodicea, and you remember Laodicea from the book of Revelation, what does that remind you of?
Lukewarm.
Reminds me of that lesson in the movie War Room, where the older lady comes out and says, nobody, some people like their coffee cold, some people like their coffee hot. Not many people just like it lukewarm. No, they don't like it that way. And God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. We're supposed to be on fire for Jesus. And refreshing. A refreshing drink of water. Anybody going to meet you, you see Jesus overflowing. You know? I got a river of life flowing out of me. They should see Jesus in you. And they should see that refreshing spring of Jesus. So Paul's an apostle. He's sent out by King Jesus, the Messiah Jesus, God is salvation, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. He says our brother here. Timothy's also his spiritual son, so to speak, to the saints. Saints, if you've had some Catholic Church influence in your background, I have to tell you that calling a saint somebody who's been proven special over the time of the church and years and certain miracles and things, that's a later development. Saint is what you are. What do you think of that? Saint John, Saint Mary, Saint Glenn. Think of yourself as a saint? As a holy person set apart for the purposes of God? A saint. Maybe you think of the saint when you think about somebody on a stained glass window that was put there. Like, oh, that's saint, whatever, you know? Well, think of yourself as a saint. A saint is just somebody that God's light shines through, right? And I pray that people rejoice in seeing how beautiful you are for Him. And a faithful person to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Faith is an important thing. We talked about faith, foundation of faith. We walk by faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? Faith. What is faith? What is faith?
Believing in things it's not seen.
Believing in things it's not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen, not seen. Right. Yeah, so it's about things not seen. And that faith without works is dead. So you can say you have faith in one of those chairs to hold you up. You ever been in a house where you weren't sure whether the chair would hold you up?
Yeah.
Well, faith is to lean your whole weight against, you know? So, do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Are you leaning your whole weight against Him? It's a good question to ask your soul, because we want to walk in faith. And I know we believe, but so many times isn't our prayer like, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So, walk in faith. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So, a good way to start talking about the sermon titles, this book of Colossians starts off with a big section on thanksgiving and prayer. And it's a good way to start any endeavor with thanksgiving and prayer. I think many times we forget thanksgiving and prayer when we're giving God our laundry list and all the things that we'd like Him to do for us. We forget to be thankful for what we already have. We forget to look around us, to look inside of us, to realize that it's not our own wisdom. It's God's. It's God's stuff that He puts inside of us. Even that you're here today in your right mind, breathing the same air, with ears that can hear, with all your senses. It's a gift of God. Sometimes we're just not thankful enough. The word here, this thank word, Eucharistomen, Eucharist, is also a word used for our communion. It has to do with you. The E-U is good. Something is good. And charis, grace. Grace. Thanks. Thankfulness. Are you thanking God for all the good things that you've seen by His grace that you've received? Today we celebrate Mother's Day, you know? You're thankful for that grace. Mm-hmm. Thankful for that grace for that mother who was there for you. And so many times there for us, why? As a selfish little kid, I didn't care if she was there for me. I was just glad it was there, somebody who seemed to enjoy playing the servant. I mean, I don't know, I pray like I'm a blessing to, you know, I'm a blessing to you if I sing a song for you or something like that. Sing a song unto the glory of God. But I tell you, even if you're thinking like, how many verses does that song have? When is he going to stop singing? Whatever. I tell you, I could sit down at the kitchen table and I could sing for my mother for hours and she would just listen. And yeah, she would give me a little critique every once in a while, but most times I just know that she just loved hearing me because I was her boy. But somebody who actually gives you that attention and then you go home and home feels like home and... And she cares for you when you don't deserve to be cared for. And when I was up late at night and not feeling too well, she'd be the person sitting beside me while I was going through all those feelings, you know? Dad had his part. He was a strong, skeletal, framework for our family. It's strong and foundational. Mother seemed like she provided a lot of the fleshy parts, you know? And I remember one time she did, like, kind of like, she did let me have it. And I deserved it. But she played her part well. But sometimes, well, many times, we just don't think to thank. We don't think to thank. We just, like, we call somebody up today. You know, thank them. Praise God for, write a letter to somebody. Stop. You know, if you write a letter to somebody, don't really pay attention because hardly anybody ever writes letters anymore. Yeah, I know one lady does. But not many others do. Write letters. Just tell people how thankful you are. They'll be like looking, did I read it all? Do they want something? Just be thankful. Because I don't think we share Thanksgiving enough. Are there people in this church that you can say, I thank God always for the remembrance I have of you? Wouldn't you like to be a person that every time somebody remembers you, they're filled with thanksgiving? Or are they filled with, like, or dread? You know? Be thankful. And share the thanksgiving. So, in Colossae, well, I'll finish reading this, and then I'm talking to you about some of the themes in Colossians. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we're talking about being thankful for what God has done. Being thankful for his forgiveness, for his strength, for his power, for his might, endurance, patience, joy, so many things we're thankful for. And he's praying that they be filled with knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding. Now, sometimes we forget to be thankful. Sometimes we take things for granted. And sometimes we see things a little skewed. Realize when God is penning this letter to the Colossians, what is he saying? Why is he mentioning things that he's mentioned about knowledge? Why is he mentioning Jesus Christ so much? Why is he talking about how, like in the verses that follow in the coming sermons, he's talking about Jesus, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Why is he mentioning stuff like this? Well, because the Colossians have lost their focus a little bit. And he's mentioning knowledge. They might think they have knowledge because they're learning more stuff. They're even thinking they're learning secret things and things that other people don't know. And they're like feeling good about that. But do they know experientially, and do they know Jesus Christ? Do they know his word? And are they living it out fruitfully? He wants to know if they have that real kind of knowing that we talk about in the Bible, which is knowing. It's like a relationship between a husband and wife. It's like intimacy. Do you have that intimacy with Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Is he important to you? That knowledge. And are you learning more and more, growing into that maturity in Jesus Christ? Or are you losing some of your focus? Because some of the Colossians are having problems. And commentators are thinking the Colossians are having some distress, and they're not sure exactly what it's about. Because it doesn't say exactly, but it gives enough of a hint to tell where it might be the problem. There's Gnosticism that some people think and some people don't think. Gnosticism is like special knowledge. a special gnosis, like special knowledge in the Greek, deeper understandings that you need to have to really be in with the in group, to really be in the understanding. You need this understanding. And they start separating things out, and they're reading other things, these things that are not biblical, about dualism and about the beginnings of the world. Because some people had a hard time understanding that they were thinking like matter is bad and spirit is good. So separating these things out, they come up with these stories about how the world was created and separate God, the God that we know and love, kind of away from that creation, since matter, they thought, was evil. And separating things from like matter and spirit, they can also tell themselves little lies that I can do whatever I want with my body. It doesn't matter because my spirit is saved and okay with Jesus. And so there's kind of a separation. So I can do this over here and do this over here. And because I have that separation and matter's evil and spirit good, then I can kind of work these things out in my mind. And so they're reading these Gnostic things that say stuff like that, that's not in the Bible. And they're messing themselves up with how to view things. But the fact is, we know that Jesus Christ rose in the flesh. And in some way, He redeemed our experience, and so we can actually enjoy the world. We can enjoy the tangible stuff of the world because God has kind of walked through it and redeemed it by Jesus Christ. It's not that separation where like matter's bad and spirit good. And it's not all these crazy things they're working out with their mind with all the stuff that they've heard. And they're also supposed to love Jesus Christ because He is in rank and privilege first. Because you know that there's like, you know there was a, before Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you know other people rose from the dead, right? You know that? Yeah, if you look in the Old Testament, you remember the guy that got healed in the Old Testament, like he sneezed like seven times or something? Or was that the same guy that one of the prophets laid right on top of, and he got, you know, he was brought back to life, right? Lazarus rose from the dead, right? So people rose from the dead before Jesus, but Jesus is first in rank and privilege because nobody ever rose from the dead like Jesus rose from the dead. Because Jesus rose again in the flesh, never to die again. You know, Lazarus rose from the dead, and then Lazarus would die. And he would be with Jesus. But Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he is always alive, always making intercession for us. Jesus is first in rank and privilege. He's different. He's different than all the other heavenly beings. He is God in the flesh. And we need to know that. But the Colossians, they're believing some other things. And they're looking at other things, and they're reading some other things, and they're listening to other things, and they're paying attention to same things. That it's like, and so all of a sudden, maybe angels become so much more important to them, but they forget about Jesus Christ. How many of you ever like watching the show like Touched by an Angel? Right? Okay. I've watched that show, you know. It's one of those shows, you know, about 40-minute long episode, right around like 33 minutes, you're crying, right? Because something wonderful's happened. How many ever watched like Highway to Heaven? Okay. Yeah, beautiful shows with bad theology. You know? John wants to go on with all his favorite shows, but no. What I'm saying is like, beautiful shows, and they do teach good things, like, in a smaller sense. But when we pass on to the Lord, we don't become angels. We become like angels. So that's one thing. And another thing is, how many times do you remember that in those shows where Jesus Christ was ever mentioned? God is mentioned, But you know, just like in the old days, they had censors to make sure you didn't say bad words. So in the newer days, they have censors to make sure you don't say good words, like Jesus Christ. And every show shows you something you can learn without Jesus Christ. You could just learn something about God. Well, even the demons believe in God and shudder. What do they do with Jesus? What do they do with obedience? What do they do with repentance? And how many times even do you hear things about repentance? Coming to the cross? You don't. Because somebody's saying no to being so Christocentric about stuff. I'm speaking as a guy who watched much of those episodes. Whether you're talking about the one series or the other. Because they were interesting. They were family shows. They were pretty safe. And they were tearjerkers. And they had interesting characters that came from other shows and stuff. People that you would see and good acting. But I'm saying, where is Jesus Christ? Angels lifted up. Jesus, not even in the picture. Like public schools, you know? Can you learn a lot of good things in public schools? Are there good teachers there? Yes. But do you hear about God in public schools? Well, if the kids bring it in, you hear about it a little bit. But there might even be a little bit of tension between the teachers because the teachers will not understand. They might say like, oh, well, separation of church and state. Even though that was just in a letter from Thomas Jefferson trying to protect the church from the state and not the other way around. Some teachers will be thinking, one of my students mentioned God, but they want to do a paper on Jesus Christ. Well, that's not allowed. And then the parent will know something and they'll go to bat for their child, and then Jesus is mentioned in school. But by and large, Jesus is not mentioned in school. They might get a decent education, but not a real education. Just like when you're watching shows about angels and stuff like that, you're getting an education, but it's not reality. Because they're missing the main point. You know, angels, it says in Hebrews chapter 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? They're just not going around just to bless people, just so people can have a wonderful day and go on with their lives. It's about people being saved, people inheriting salvation and blessing people who are inheriting salvation. They have a purpose. They are angelic warriors out there doing their duty, and their duty has to do with Jesus Christ and getting people on the way of discipleship with Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying is, the way our earth has dealt with things, the way our world has dealt with things, it might be how the Colossians deal with things. They get so focused on something that's kind of fantastical, or they might be going off the deep end on asceticism. You know, like there's people like in church history who they would go out in the desert and be totally alone. Or they would go out and they would live for years on top of a pole, on top of a platform. Have you ever heard of those? Those people who they live out just separated from everybody on top of a platform. Is that wonderful? Is that great? Is that what God calls us to? Harsh treatment of the body and things like that. It is good for us to fast and to pray. It is good for us to deny ourselves things on a regular basis. Especially if you think something might control you. You make sure. I remember my daddy sitting at the table and talking to me about alcohol. And he was saying, like, you make sure you control it, that it doesn't control you. And we talk about family history and stuff and warnings about all that kind of stuff. And some people even take the wise choice to never even have it just because of the possibility that it would lead to drunkenness, which is a total no-no. The Bible doesn't say you can't drink. fact, Psalm 104 even says it's a gift of God. Wine is even a gift of God, you know? Jesus turned water into wine at the wedding feast. You can't deny that. But at the same time, you got to be careful about stuff. And my dad was careful about it with me in telling me, be careful, boy. Don't let it control you. But there's a lot of things that control us, isn't it? You get a certain ring on your phone, you try to control yourself and not look at it. You become like Pavlov's dog, you know, it's like salivating as soon as something... Doesn't it ever concern you that your life can seems ruled by bells and whistles? You know? And there's a lot of good things that you can do with a phone and use on a phone and everything. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying, does it ever bother you? Do you ever feel controlled by something? Like, no, I got to put this in perspective. You know? I need this too much. I need this too much. Yeah. It's a good thing. Because it's a good thing to, like, have that kind of quality of denial about you. That you deny the things of the world so that you would never deny Jesus Christ and what he wants from you. So, that being said, to live a life like a monk on top of a pole for 30 years may be something the devil is very pleased that you do. Because you, who care so much about getting close to God that you want to live off in a desert somewhere, you're not having much effect on anybody else around you, except those who come out to take pictures, maybe. I don't know. But I'm saying God wants us to carry that sensitive heart towards him out into the community. It's almost like God wants us all to be monkish, but in the world. You know, out there in the world. Be crazy, be different, be odd. But be in the world, but not of the world. So the Colossians, they might have gone overboard with that too. There also might have been kind of like a Galatians type thing going on there. Remember Galatians? Where Paul reamed out Peter because Peter was acting different towards Gentiles and Jews. Like, it was almost like he was letting some Pharisaical nature creep in on him. That you're actually being so kind of detailed on everything that you're missing the big picture. So we don't want to miss Jesus Christ. You don't want to miss the forest for the trees. And so the Colossians were going overboard with some of those things. And Paul reminds us in this letter to make sure you keep your heart tender for Jesus Christ. Epaphras is mentioned. In other places, he might be called Epaphroditus in your Bibles, too. Epaphroditus is mentioned in the book of Philippians. I think it says something like, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and minister to my needs. For he's been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So Paul talks about Epaphroditus in Philippians. I think that's the same guy here, Epaphras. And you're used to people in the Bible sometimes having a different name or a longer name, so that's the same thing. And so Paul, he may have traveled through Colossians, but this is a church that looks like it was started by Epaphroditus, ministry to the church, that Paul's doing a lot and spending a lot of time in Ephesus. And while he's there, he's ministering to different people, and Epaphras, one of them. And so he comes, and all of a sudden there's a church started out there. You ever look at your flower beds and say, like, wow, how'd that tree get there? Well, some squirrel was doing some other animal, some other critter carried that seed over there, and then all of a sudden your garden has a different look to it. Well, Epaphras, he's carrying the gospel that Paul delivered to him. So, we have a letter here full of thanksgiving, full of Paul's care for us. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you had for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. What's gospel mean?
Good news.
Good news. Good news. Or good message, yes. Which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does also among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. What's grace? What's the definition of grace?
Unmerited favor.
Unmerited favor. Very good, Carol. And while we're on that subject, what's the definition of mercy?
Kindness.
Kindness?
Not getting what you deserve.
Okay, because it is kind, but more specifically, it's like grace is getting good things that you don't deserve, but mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And so it takes some humility to understand mercy. So at the cross, you have mercy and grace right there, and justice, all meeting together. So the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So isn't that wonderful? He's lifting up Epaphras there too. It's a nice way to start a letter. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Do you seek God's will in your prayers? And it goes on, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, when you're in the path of God's knowledge, his spiritual wisdom, his will, there's fruit that is born. I don't know about you, but isn't it frustrating when you spend a lot of time working on something and there's just not fruit? Do you ever wonder, like, is it just I'm not seeing the fruit? Or is it that I'm not in step with the Spirit here? May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Saints in light. He has qualified us. It's not us. He has done it. And it says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Everybody is naturally in the kingdom of darkness when they're born. Kingdom of Satan, and then you move to the kingdom of God when you're saved. Kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been bought back, redeemed, forgiven. And isn't that a wonderful thing that we've been forgiven? Every other religion in the world tries to get to God, whatever their version of God is, through some internal or external works. Jesus Christ did the work for us. And we want to lift him up and we want to remember him. So, before we close in a prayer today, because I'm going to pray through this scripture, I want to show you how to pray through a scripture, because I want you to do that, okay? If I could give you a little homework assignment this week that you would maybe enjoy, here's what I give you. Are you ready? Write a letter to somebody to say thank you. If it's somebody who's been a mother for you in some way, that's a wonderful thing. You can't think of anybody else like that. Well, think of somebody who's been a good spiritual influence for you, like Epaphras. Somebody who maybe you've ministered to, and maybe you're mentoring, or somebody who's mentored you. But be thankful. Thanksgiving and prayer is a wonderful way to start, especially if you have a relationship that's maybe grown a little bit cold over the times. But try to write a letter to somebody, even if it's a short note. And also try to pray through a scripture. Pray through a scripture. And before we close in a prayer, is there anybody who would like to just Anybody want to say something? Do you want to say something about your mom or somebody you want to thank God for who has helped you to keep Jesus first in your life? Then go ahead and do that. We'll just leave that. Leave that. Yeah. Anybody want to thank God for somebody?
I'd like to thank God for my mom and dad for bringing me up in a good Christian home, giving me a good start.
All right. We're bringing you up in a good Christian home, giving you a good start. Amen.
I thank my parents for the same thing.
Your parents for the same thing? Any others?
I'd like to thank for my mom, Mary Benton, my Aunt Margaret, Rose Finn, for Aunt Pansy, Grandma Pansy, for Sharon, and for Gail. I mean, I'm all right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any others?
I praise God for my parents, and I also praise God for having a wonderful neighbor like Karen Coy.
Okay, so you kind of got a mother wound across the road there for you. Praise the Lord. Any others?
I'm going to jump in twice. I just want to thank Carol and Lainey for being my two best friends sitting here and helping me transfer into your group and to your church and faith. They couldn't do without them.
Amen. Amen. Here.
Lisa and you.
Aww.
Oh, sure.
Just bringing me in.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We appreciate it too. It's like, I know it's kind of a unique relationship. She's always nice and I yell at you once in a while, but we love you. Praise the Lord. Hey, anybody else? Carol?
I want to praise God for all the miracles of healing that he has manifested in this church. It's just amazing how many people were on their deathbed, practically, and God raised them up, including Gary, just this past week. The doctor told Gretchen that he shouldn't have lived.
Oh, man. Well, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord for family. As I was visiting Gary, I kind of realized that he had about he was looked after by the people at the hospital and also by a great cadre of women with a lot of strong medical opinions that helped out. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for family.
He's listening right now, so.
Well, praise the Lord. All right. So let's... Now, I haven't thought about what I'm going to say about this, okay? So, I know you might think I'm more wordy than some, and so it would be easier for me, but I'm just trying to do it like off the cuff to show you this is how you can pray the scripture. Because I know if you're like me, our prayers sometimes get to be kind of like rote, like almost, it sounds like the same prayer Lisa and I pray together in the evenings. And a lot of times the prayer I prayed today sounds a lot like the prayer I prayed yesterday. I'm praying for a lot of the same things. That's okay. But as far as prayer being a relationship between myself and my Savior, sometimes I feel like I'm not keeping things fresh. I'm not looking at my life fully enough. I'm not letting God kind of root through to make sure my heart is still in tune with Jesus. You know, like maybe my focus is getting off somewhere and I'm too much over here, too much over there. Kind of like what I was talking about with the Colossians. Too much this, too much that. Not the right focus on Christ. And so praying through the scriptures helps me pick up on some prayers that I normally don't. So that's like the two requests I would have for you. Write a letter or a note to somebody thanking God for them. Let them know. And pray through a scripture. Okay? So I'll pray through this, that with these verses we just did today, okay? And I'll pray like myself on with us here today, just how we are. Father God, I come to you in prayer as I read your word, because your word is speaking to me like I'm speaking to you. So it's a conversation, Lord, and I appreciate the conversation. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. Father God, I do thank you that you're my Father and that you care for me. And, you know, my dad had a kind of a tough exterior, but I could still see moments of tenderness, Lord, and I thank you for the tenderness that he showed me, Lord. But as wonderful as a relationship as I had with my father is, I know, Lord, you are the ultimate Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you even let me call you Father. And that that's the relationship you call me into. Thank you for being there for me as a father and forgiving me for all the times where when I've been a spoiled brat. And I know, Lord, my parents loved me when I was a spoiled brat, and I know your love is so much greater. Thanks for being a good father and forgiving me along the way. And this scripture, Lord, it talks about the will of God. I thank you, Lord, that it's the will of God that I'm a pastor here at this little church, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that people know each other and we get to know each other. And different people have little edges like puzzle pieces, Lord, but we learn to respect each other over the years, Lord, and treasure each other, Lord. And I pray for your continuing will, Lord Jesus, to just bless me here in the ministry, Lord. Keep me strong, steady, and steadfast, Lord. And bring more people out to disciple, Lord. Not that I want the nature of the church to change that much, just because I like kind of how we are, but it'd be nice to know that we're being fruitful and that we're discipling more. So bless us, Lord. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Oh, Lord, I thank you for heaven, and I thank you for that hope. Thank you for that memorial cross, Lord Jesus, that Tom helped out with, Lord. I appreciate that he did it so well, Lord. It's quality. It's a strong thing. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're building the church strongly, Lord, and the love that we have for each other, Lord. I can see there's more love in this church than there has been in other years. It's just, at least I see there's more openness about it, Lord. People seem to be watching after each other pretty well. I thank you for that, Lord. And it also says, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Father God, I thank you for the people that I learned faith from. For Ray Dineen, who invited me into his Sunday school class and amongst older people, Lord. But I still spoke my mind and he seemed to respect me and welcome me in. Even though I knew hardly anything and my life was not much anything to talk about, Lord. I was so mixed up back then, Lord. But thank you that he saw in me what I didn't see in myself at that time. And for other people like different pastors and ministry leaders and brothers in the faith, that you helped bless me along the way, Lord. And my own brother, he helped me too. And my brother Randy, he just got on fire for you, Jesus. I thought he was really weird, but I started hanging around some of his people. And I think that helped me too, Lord. Thank you for the influences, and I pray that I'm a good influence. I thought about bearing fruit. I thought about the time when I was on a mission trip in Canada, Lord. And so much darkness, Lord. Evil stuff, Lord Jesus. A lot of terrible, just drunkenness and violence and abuse and sexual abuse and weird cultic stuff. And seeing clothing hanging from trees. People offering like some kind of weird stuff to demonic spirits, Lord. And I kind of wonder, the ministry we had up there, I wonder how that bore fruit. Because the little kids that we gave little Bibles to, they must have families by themselves by now. So Lord, I pray you bless them. And I pray you bless that missionary couple that was having marriage problems. Bless them too, Lord. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. I pray that people know me as a person of the Spirit who has a lot of love. I know they know I speak the truth, but I pray I speak it in love. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge, knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're leading me to what I need to read in the Bible, and that each and every day, Lord, you show me the stuff that I need to study. And so I always make sure my tank's filled, Lord, so I can give, Lord. And I pray that I'm pleasing to you. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, Father God, endurance and patience. When I heard that, Lord, I just thought about all the different problems I've had in my life because I haven't waited. Oh, Lord, he that believeth shall not make haste. And there's so many times I've rushed on. Please forgive me. Help me to slow down and do things right so I don't hurt myself physically or spiritually, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, to keep steady with you. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your redemption. Lord, I thank you that I'm not in Satan's kingdom anymore. Would you do me a favor, Lord, and please rebuke the devil, Lord. Rebuke him and all the demonic forces that try to steal my joy and come against me today and every day this week. Lord, can you just break their teeth? Can you just slap them around, Lord Jesus, in your name, by your holy power, and so I can have a good week focused on you and do good, fruitful work, Lord, and not always be looking in my rearview mirror? Thank you, Lord, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So that was praying through Scripture. I didn't know what I was going to be praying, and it takes me different places than I think that I would go. And I want you to try that too. Just to get a, not to say to replace your prayer time, but to freshen it up. Because if you've been married, like I've been married for over 30 years, you don't do the same date all the time. There's some things we always like to do together because we both like the same things, many things. But we got to freshen it up once in a while. And it helps us, even after all these years, to find out new things about each other. So do that with the Lord, too, okay? And you'll increase in knowledge. Stay in his word. In Jesus' name, amen.